Hello, I'm Tom Sheridan. I'm a professor of anthropology at the School of Anthropology in the Southwest Center here at the University of Arizona.
Now, we're talking today specifically about the five C's. At statehood 100 years ago, it had started out actually as what was formerly known as the three C's, and it sort of expanded. Can you kind of give us an overview of pre-statehood and then after, of course, achieving statehood, how we went from the three C's to the five C's and how we how it's become popularized today and is actually part of state lore?
Well, actually, in 1912, there were only two of the three C's were really rolling. The cattle industry exploded in the 1880s after the construction of the transcontinental railroads, and then copper mining began to be much more important again because of the impact of the railroads. Because copper, unlike gold and silver, is not a precious metal, so you had to mine a lot more of it, and the only way to transport that efficiently and economically was by rail. But in 1912, the Salt River Valley in particular was a very, very active agricultural area. But the transformation to an agricultural economy based on cotton had not happened yet and really didn't happen for about four more years during World War I.
It was the need for, I believe, tires, actually.
Exactly.
And the fact that Arizona's climate was conducive to a kind of cotton that was particularly tough that could be made into tires, which is why we have a town in the West Valley known as Goodyear, Arizona.
Goodyear, Dunlop, you name it. Litchfield, who was the name of the vice president, who really kind of kicked off the cotton boom. But what happened was that after World War II broke out, most of the world's supply of long staple cotton, which was cotton used for industrial purposes, not for textiles, particularly tires, but also for the fabric on airplane wings. After the war broke out, most of that cotton was raised either in the Sudan or in Egypt, which were British colonies. So Britain slapped an embargo on the export of long staple cotton because it needed all of that cotton for its own war effort, and that led tire manufacturers in the United States to look for other areas that might be suitable to grow this kind of cotton. And it really wasn't suitable for the old cotton belt of the American South wasn't suitable because it was too humid. And so that's when the major tire companies like Goodyear and Dunlop turned to the Arizona desert, and with the help of Arizona politicians like Carl Hayden, triggered a boom in long staple cotton that was really astonishing.
Four of the five C's, of course, are easily defined as industry and or commerce. The fifth, climate, is a little more ethereal. Of course, there is a climate industry, so to speak, but it's a little less defined. At what point did climate become one of the C's? Was it almost at statehood people recognized that the desert could be tamed? What really happened to make climate part of the mix?
I think the first people who began coming here for reasons other than what they could, pull out of the ground were the so-called lungers, the people who suffered from TB and other respiratory ailments, which TB really was the AIDS of the late 19th century. It was a disease that afflicted perhaps 10% of the U.S. population, accounted for about 12% of all deaths in this country. And there was this kind of folk belief that dry desert air was one of the ways that you might possibly recover from TB and these other respiratory diseases that really flourished in the crowded conditions of the industrial cities of the Northeast.
I've heard it said in some ways that Arizona's early sanitarium industry led to Arizona's current resort industry in a strange sort of way, just because people came here originally for health reasons and realized that it was a perfect place to sit by the pool under a palm tree.
I think that's a great point. It led to the beginning of the recreation industry. It also established sort of the infrastructure for modern healthcare, because many places that started out as TB sanatoriums like TMC, the Tucson Medical Center, then morphed into more general hospitals. But I think the other development that triggered the fifth C was the Santa Fe Railroad's discovery of the Grand Canyon and that it could make tourism pay, because that railroad had been growing, had been going broke for decades. But once it discovered that that people would come to Arizona for reasons other than, you know, cotton, copper, or cattle, the Grand Canyon became one of the major tourism destination spots of, you know, of the United States and probably in the world. And up until the late 1920s, most of those tourists arrived by rail.
Can you make any sort of guess as to where we'd be at the bicentennial? Will the five C's still be the five C's, or will it be the eight C's or the two C's, or will it be something completely different?
Well, it's always hard to predict what's going to happen 100 years from now. I think everything hinges on water, and we have no more pot at the end of the rainbow now. The CAP, the Colorado River, was the last source, major source of untapped water that Arizona has access to. So the 21st century is going to be determined by how we divide the water that we have now. And I think one thing that's been happening is that agriculture is slowly losing ground to urban growth. It still accounts for about 70% of Arizona's water use, but that's been decreasing as cities and other municipalities buy farmland, not as farmland, but for their water rights, and then pave over those fields. So I think the sea that cotton sort of symbolizes, you know, that it, Arizona's agricultural industry is probably going to continue to lose ground as cities like Metro Phoenix get bigger and bigger and bigger.
Thank you for coming in today.
Thank you, Mark. My pleasure. I've enjoyed this.
Thank you.